What's happening now is very different. This is fear. These are bread protests when they're happening. People are genuinely concerned about feeding their families, paying their rent, being able to heat their homes.
A few weeks back, around mid-July, in episode 340 of The Foreign Desk, we did an entire episode on Lebanon. It was hung on the premise that Lebanon was consumed by a crisis remarkable even by Lebanese standards. Political chaos, civil unrest, and economic collapse, all accelerated by a global pandemic. We considered how bad things had got and wondered where it might all be heading. Lebanon on the brink, we called it. We should probably have known better than to tempt fate like that.
Breaking news from Lebanon. The capital, Beirut, has been hit by a massive explosion. Dozens of people are said to be injured, and there are...
The whole world knows what happened at 9 minutes past 6 p.m. Beirut time on Tuesday, August 4th. Indeed, much of Lebanon's part of the world, as far away as Cyprus, heard it happen. Nearly 3,000 tons of ammonium nitrate, a cargo long abandoned in the port of Beirut, exploded. It was, beyond much doubt, one of the most colossal non-nuclear detonations in history. At least 220 people were killed, thousands injured, hundreds of thousands rendered abruptly homeless. It's hard to know where to even start guessing what it might cost to fix everything which got broken in those few terrible seconds. Whatever the amount, it is money which Lebanon does not have.
Today, we follow the will of the people to hold accountable those responsible for this disaster that has been in hiding for 7 years, and their desire for real change, from the corrupt, destructive state of brokerages and theft, to a state of law and justice and transparency, to a country that respects its people. In the face of this reality, we take a step back to stand with the people to undergo this battle of change with them. We want to open the door towards national salvation that the Lebanese people are taking part in. And thus, I am announcing today the resignation of the government.
Earlier this week, Lebanon's entire government resigned. It is an open question whether this was primarily an acknowledgement of the entirely justified fury of Lebanon's people, or yet another dereliction of responsibility, along the lines of, for example, effectively leaving a massive time bomb ticking in the heart of one's own capital city for 6 years. Prime Minister Hassan Diab, who had only been in the job since January, declared that last week's explosion had been a consequence of endemic corruption. This, it is fair to say, was not heard by many Lebanese as a revelation. Hassan Diab is not, however, going anywhere just yet. Though President Michel Aoun accepted the resignation of Diab and his ministers, they have been asked to stay on as a caretaker government until a new cabinet can be formed. It is, as things stand, unclear how or when or if this might be possible. Ironically, last week's disaster may actually have kept Diab in the office he has now offered to quit. It was widely assumed that he was done for anyway. The day before the explosion, Diab had accepted the resignation of his foreign minister, Nassif Hitti, who complained that Lebanon was on the verge of becoming a failed state. This also was something that many of the Prime Minister's fellow citizens would have been willing to tell him for free. Due to all of the above, there is no obvious answer to the key question, now what? Even if someone can be found who is willing to have a crack at being Prime Minister, they will swiftly discover that among the things which did survive last week's blast are the sectarian structures which have underpinned Lebanese politics since the end of Lebanon's civil war in the early 1990s, and which have more recently rendered meaningful reform impossible.
But you see the tension, and people are very nervous against their politicians. So at the same time we build this emergency aid, we need a new political initiative. And I'm here to bring help to help to coordinate, we will launch a European and international initiative to bring money and help directly to people.
There has been one indication of a potential alternative source of leadership. French President Emmanuel Macron invited himself to Beirut within 48 hours of the explosion and walked the shattered streets while most of Lebanon's own leaders were barely visible. For an idea of how weird that was, and what a demonstration of Lebanon's dysfunction it is, imagine an immense cyclone devastating Sydney, and the first politician turning up being Boris Johnson. Macron has since convened a conference of potential donors while dropping unsubtle hints about rebuilding Lebanon's political framework. This is no small ambition, not least because it would also involve addressing the parallel state of Hezbollah, the Iran-backed movement which forms part of Lebanon's government while maintaining a militia probably more formidable than Lebanon's own armed forces. Even before last week's blast, Hezbollah's prominence was proving an obstacle in Lebanon's negotiations with the IMF. The United States is the biggest donor to the IMF, and the United States also officially classifies Hezbollah as a terrorist organization. It does seem significant, however, and possibly even encouraging that Hezbollah, who have long depicted themselves as incorruptible outsiders, seem as much a target of popular anger right now as the rest of a rotten political establishment. There is obviously nothing good about what happened in Beirut last week and what has been happening in Lebanon now for months, indeed years. But there is something to be said for the extraordinary and heartening turnout of volunteers, individuals and civil society organisations who have been reported going street to street and door to door in Beirut, offering to do what Lebanon's government won't. It can only be hoped that Lebanon's next government, whoever and whatever it is, heeds this example, as well as the people's anger. It would be an overdue change of Lebanon's luck if something better can be built on the ruins. For Monocle 24, I'm Andrew Muller.